Blog Talk Radio. Welcome to Resiliency Radio with Rick Allen and Lauren Monroe. Interactive radio to empower, educate, and inspire during difficult times. Featuring live interviews with celebrity guests and cutting-edge professionals working in the fields of health, wholeness, and resiliency. This program is brought to you by the Raven Drum Foundation's Veteran Resiliency Project and is dedicated to all our military and their families. For more information, visit us on the web at www.ravendrumfoundation.org. Welcome to Resiliency Radio. My name is Lauren Monroe, and I'm here with my very, very entertaining co-host, Mr. Rick Allen.
I'm not sure how to take that. Entertaining. Entertaining. Entertaining co-host.
You're the man.
Okay. I'll take that.
And today we have a really special guest, someone we've never really spoken to before that I'm very excited about. His name is Craig Shoemaker. He's the founder of the Laughter Heals Foundation. He's also a very, very funny comedian who has accolades from all over the United States. And especially one thing I want to talk to him about, he has a 90-minute stand-up special called Dadditude that I think was very, very funny that I'm interested in hearing about. And also, we're going to talk to him about how laughter really heals. Like, what's up with that? We all know we feel better when we laugh, but what's the ins and outs of that, and how does it affect him in his work? So it should be a really fun interview today.
Cool. I'm looking forward to it. So what do you do when you want to boost your mood, Lauren?
When I want to boost my mood, I like to listen to music. Open all the windows, kind of change the energy around the house.
Any movies?
Definitely Saturday Night Live, old school. I love the Chris Farley and
Patrick Swayze.
Patrick Swayze.
Yeah, yeah. Chippendales.
That's it, yeah.
And a really silly one, which never fails, is Zohan.
Yeah, Zohan. Zohan is it's definitely...
Or as your dad would say, it's juvenile. It's stupid.
Right. But he watches the whole thing, so that says something.
Well, I definitely feel better when I have a good laugh. It's always nice to have good movies around, things that kind of lighten the mood, you know?
Mm-hmm. So. I mean, we all know we're feeling bad. I mean, some of us, I know myself, sometimes when I'm feeling bad, I kind of isolate and I just want to be by myself. But then as soon as you meet someone or you're around a friend that opens you up and makes you laugh, it definitely changes your whole perspective about your day. And even if you're in pain too, sometimes, you know, having pain can be really difficult, and being in pain and wanting to be happy and not being able to be is a real challenge for a lot of people.
Yeah.
I know that when you laugh, it does change things in your brain, and it
more like chemical.
Yeah, it definitely does. And I don't know the ins and outs of that, but I know it does. And I know when I've had pain in my joints or pain in my body, and I laugh, you do have a sense of the pain being lifted.
Mm-hmm.
And it's really wonderful. You know, somebody said that you should laugh 50 times a day, and I think that's something to strive to.
Yeah, I'm definitely falling short. Well, sometimes. Sometimes, you know, I get into it. But I guess between this and, you know, eating the right foods, that's a great way to balance yourself, you know?
Mm-hmm, definitely. Well, we're getting ready to give Craig a call. So just hang on. We'll be right back. with Craig Shoemaker. Welcome back, everyone. We're here with our special guest, Craig Shoemaker. Welcome to the show, Craig.
Thank you for getting that name right.
Yeah.
A lot of people say Shoemaker like I'm off the boat from Bavaria carrying an umlaut or something.
No, I thought you were...
Thanks for getting it right.
Yeah,
I know.
No,
I thought you were related to the Formula One driver.
No, the jockey, the Willie Shoemaker, not the, that's old school.
Oh, okay.
But the,
showing your age
no, I'm just,
there.
I'm just a little cobbler, just a little shoemaker.
Well, we're really excited about what you do and your organization, Laughter Heals, and we'd love to just get to know you and share with our listeners how you do the work you do, how you arrived at the place in your life sharing the laughter work. We think it's fascinating. Can you tell us about that?
Sure. I mean, it's sort of like it was born out of necessity, I guess. I was raised, my dad left when I was born. I guess it was something I said. So immediately it was like I was having some abandonment issues there. And what I found was the one thing that would make my mother happy was we would watch television together. And I just wanted my mom to be happy. She was just so sad from and miserable from, you know, having to work so hard and raise a family on her own, and my father's off running a cult. So it's like it's almost like I had no other choice. I'm not going to sit and cry. So I would watch television with her, and that was the best bonding you could ever have is with your family. On a Saturday night with the CBS lineup with Mary Tyler Moore and All in the Family, and I got such a kick out of it. I remember this warm feeling. And then Hollywood Squares was another one. And there was a guy, center square was Paul Lynde, and he was Uncle Arthur on Bewitched. He was in Bye Bye Birdie. And I wrote him two letters to fix him up with my mother because I wanted a father and I wanted a husband for her, you know, and I was always a fixer. And I wrote him a letter, you know, because I read that he was single. I was a kid, you know, I didn't know why he was single.
Right.
I was happy. Hello. One time on Hollywood Squares, I said, Paul, how many balls in a billiard table? He goes, I don't know. How many guys are playing? Who knew? I mean, who knew the ascot might have been a giveaway? But so, he wasn't going to write me back. But I dreamt of actually funny is I had a strange dream of being the first father and son team on Hollywood Squares. You know, like I'd like Craig and Paul Lynn for the win, please, and we'd be sharing the box. You take this one, son. It's a sports question. I just had this imagination. I ended up on Hollywood Squares, which was fun. I was never the center square, but so dreams do come true.
Yeah.
And you know, sometimes they manifest in strange ways. I also wrote a letter to this guy, Tim McCarver. He was the catcher of the Phillies, and he was single. And I said, you should meet my mother, and he never writes me back. So all these years later, Joe Buck is his broadcast partner now on Fox. And I told Joe the story. You know, he's a fan of my comedy and everything. I got to know him. I said, yeah, I wanted him to be my father. I could have a catch with him in the backyard. The next time I see Joe, he's got a ball, and the ball is signed, and it says, Dear Son, Time to Grow Up.
<That's>
Love Dad, a.k.a. Tim McCarver. It's my greatest possession I have. But, I mean, the point is finding the humor in things, no matter how dark and desperate, I just think is an undervalued, underappreciated aspect of our lives, and I think that we should seek to find the funny more often than we do. That right now we gravitate towards the news, which is so negative, and I mean, there's a whole paradigm cycle that we need to get off of. Anyway, the news gets you depressed, and then the drug company sponsors the news that handles the depression that they just gave you.
I know.
Gave you the fear, and now we have the anxiety medicine for you with all the side effects because we can pass them through the FAA or whatever, federal drug. And yeah, I'm getting all my feds mixed up. But anyway, feds and meds. They're all tied up together. But the greatest medicine we have is contained within us. And you guys know this from music, which resonates inside and harmonizes your body and spirit. And that's what goes on with laughter. And I just hope that we can spread the awareness of that.
It's a really good point you come up with about, sort of always finding the happy in things. How can laughter happen when you're not happy, when you're in that place where you're like, you know what, I'm going to be miserable and I don't care what anybody says, I'm just going to stay in this place, and you're kind of isolated, you know, how can you break out of that?
Well, it's an interesting point you make, because what I talk about, and I do something, actually we incorporate drums in some of my groups, because it's all connected.
Cool.
But I talk about how we make a choice. Now, if you're in a drum circle, for instance, you're making a choice. You're saying, okay, this is something I want to do for my mind, body, and my spirit. This is something I want to do. I'm making this choice. And there's no question that once they put their hand on one drum, that the entire energy changes, the whole focus changes from the negative. Everything, the whole dynamic just switches right on a dime. The same thing happens when you make a choice of laughter. If you make the choice, you have to make that choice. You have to say, I'm going to do this. So I have something called a guided laughidation. And if you can meditate, you can laughidate.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's the same choice. It's like, I'm going to be one with this. You don't need jokes. You can just make a choice to laugh. I could take you guys through a guided laughidation. It's very easy. You just, but you want to do one?
Yeah, let's do one.
Okay, we'll do a moderate one. And the other thing I do is, whatever your obstacle is, we all have them. We all have these obstacles and conflicts and things like that. So what I do is I give it voice, and once you voice it, it literally dissipates and disappears sometimes before your eyes. Yeah, I'll give you an example. So a laughidation, you take a big deep breath, and you know, and then you exhale, and then you let out a little just to get your engine.
Right.
See, I hear a little giggle, and it's not. And at first, you fake it and you force it a little bit, but laughter is literally contagious. And then you start laughing over silly things, like here we're on the phone together laughing at nothing.
I
all
get
the
it.
Messages of life is like, you look like an idiot.
Yeah.
You know, who cares? So what I add to the lapidation is I'll talk about something that's really present and really getting in my way. It's my ex-wife. She took everything I have. She takes me before a judge. I got a guy in a robe judging me. I don't even know the guy. He's deciding my life. Anyway, that's how it works.
Yeah, it's brilliant.
So it just gets so silly. And, you know, I do it in cancer facilities, and you see people, including the caregivers, who almost have it worse than the patients because they're so frustrated and out of control with this disease.
Mm-hmm.
And you just watch people transform right before your eyes just from making this choice. I mean, I just gave you a brief one. We do this for, you know, 20 minutes at a time, and people are exhausted, and it engages. It oxygenates your body, and healing endorphins are literally released, and its stress just goes bye-bye. So the stress of my ex-wife, just from verbalizing it, goes away.
Right.
And now I can deal with whatever she gives me. I can deal with it in a better way, and a more succinct way, a more clear way, a more spiritual way than I would have left to my own devices and my own anger and my own frustrations and resentments and things like that. When that takes over, no good consequences.
Right, just locked up.
So from doing this work, I ended up in a much better situation with my ex. I ended up with more custody because I stayed present and I, you know, did not come back at her with what she was saying I was. Indeed, if I did come back, that would make it look like I really was that person she was trying to portray and accuse and all those things, all those lies that were told. I had to stand firm and say, I want my children to see me for who I am. And that's what exists today. And I'm madly in love with my now wife. And we have another child. And we have, you know, it's just a beautiful relationship with the world now because of just that one perspective that changes and making that choice. Yeah.
You said something just a minute ago about, you know, how you could see the stress change when you're working in the cancer units and you're working with the...
Yeah.
Do you work with children or adults or both?
Yeah, well, actually, some people would bring their children. I remember this woman would bring her child and to see those two laughing together on the floor, because we say get comfortable and get in any position you want. And to see them, oh, my God, it would bring tears to your eyes, the giggles that they would have. And her mom was dying, you know, and these would be the memories. You know, I'd rather die laughing, by the way.
Yeah.
Some people say, well, what if it doesn't heal them? Well, you know what? If they're going out. It's a much better. It's better than the misery.
Right.
It's better than, you know. We talk to doctors. We try to make their bedside manner better. I mean, if you're, somebody's going to leave the planet, just make the conditions the best you can for them. And laughter is the best way you can do that. I mean, you can just watch the smiles. And then this one woman in particular, she wrote and shared with the class. This is another way to look at your cancer. She wrote the 10 pluses of being bald.
Yeah.
So, this is how she approached her chemotherapy. Never a bad hair day.
Yeah.
Everyone's cracking up because they're all going through chemotherapy in the class. And you know, what a great outlook to have.
Yeah.
And again, what you're also doing is you're initiating a healing within, because you know your body listens. Your body listens to this, and then when you change these conditions, now there's able to. You're inviting in a healing. If you do it the other way, you're just inviting in more negativity, more darkness, and it's not. It's literally not. You're not ingesting light.
Right.
You're ingesting darkness, and it's. You're not going to get any better that way.
Right.
So, and by the way, I haven't been to a doctor in years. I feel so healthy, you know, from just being around laughter so much.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because I'm a stand-up, comic, and I've been around it. You ever notice how long stand-ups live? Unless, you know, of course, there's drugs and alcohol or whatever involved, but. Besides that, but those, you know, George Burns and Bob Hope and Jack Benny and Red Buttons all lived to like 98, 100 years old.
You're right.
Bill Dillard
just
died.
I never thought about that.
He was like 89, 90. Yeah, because just being around the laughter is so good for you, and it's so healing. You know, in Asia, a lot of them, you know, they ride bicycles. They put chopsticks in their mouth so that they have a smile that releases enzymes, healing enzymes in your body.
It does.
Just from smiling. Yeah. And that's the kind of work that I really, you know, I did really well in stand-up, and I still do. But I really get the message now. It's very clear to me that it's not about me anymore, you know.
And I like the chopsticks idea. I think Rick would do really well with that.
No.
I think it's a good look, too.
No,
it's drumsticks.
Yeah. No, I know.
Drumsticks is
no,
put
she,
them in your mouth now.
No, she'd probably tell me to put the drumsticks elsewhere.
I kind of picked that up, Rick, if you want to know the truth.
Yeah, all right, thanks for that.
I've got a place for those chopsticks and their drumsticks.
The perfect spot.
Yes, thoughts are loud.
Yeah, that's brilliant. We were just recapping on some of the music we listened to and some of the movies we like to watch. Is that something that you bring in?
Well, yeah, we talk to people. My next goal is to do a documentary about this and literally monitor the results of people that you've heard of. Norman Cousins, he put himself in a room with, he had an untreatable diagnosis, and it was, you know, it gave him a very, very bad prognosis, and he outlived it 30 years from locking himself in a room with Three Stooges and Marx Brothers. That's why I do the Laughedation, by the way, because comedy itself is very subjective. What you laugh at, I don't laugh at. I mean, Patch Adams, it's a wonderful situation. That, I mean, he had a great goal of healing people through laughter, but he was showing up in people's hospital rooms with a clown nose. And I know people that, you know, would punch a clown if
right.
he showed up.
Yeah, we were talking about sort of old school sort of Saturday Night Live, you know, Chris Farley and Patrick Swayze. The Chippendales.
The Chippendales. Oh, that's a classic. That's one where you could probably put that at 90% of people are going to laugh at that.
It works every time.
90, but there's others that are subjective that maybe people, you know, like my kids aren't. Who's on first, for instance, one of the best bits of all time. My kids are out on that. I mean, they are into the Three Stooges, though. That I'm very happy about. I pass that on. My Satan, like, now, I mean, they're all hitting each other and poking each other in the eyes, but still, they are laughing. Three Stooges is an everlasting thing, and Lucille Ball. I mean, there are some classics that you can, are some go-to classics, but they're not for everyone. That's why, it really is a choice, and go for whatever does make you laugh and try to find the funny in things.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Now tell us how your Lighten Up classes work.
Well, what we do is we list, you know, we do the deep breathing, and we do all the things you would do with a meditation, and we do the centering. You know, I look at it, I talk about it like this. The Wizard of Oz is one of my favorite. Talk about classic movies. It's one of my favorite. It's not my number one favorite. Again, I would bond with my family once a year. That was, we always knew that we were going to be in front of the television watching The Wizard of Oz. So there's always that good feeling.
Mm-hmm.
But The Wizard of Oz, I break it down in class, that probably the reason it resonates with people so strongly for generations, I think what the reason is because it's everyone's story. You know, Dorothy is like all of us. We're all a victim at some point. She's a victim of Miss Gulch, who's going to take her dog away. And then she runs away just like all of us are compelled to do or have done at some time. We run away from our situation. We just think it's dark and just like, remember, it was in black and white. She runs away, and then the whole life goes into a tailspin like a lot of us. And we all end up in some, you know, in rehab with these munchkins. Go follow these steps of the yellow brick road, and there your answer will be. The light comes down and says, you know, there you will find your home if you just take these steps. And you go down the steps, and we're all made up of mind, body, and spirit. That's where our whole lives are. And then you have the scarecrow. He's the mind, and that's the brain. He doesn't think that he has a brain. And then, of course, there's the heart, the physical, and that's the tin man. And then the spirit, which is very much the one who's connected with me most, is being this person that people tell you you're supposed to be when inside you're very scared and you're frightened, just like all of us. But we have to have this bravado and then be the king of the forest. And I so relate to that guy. You know, I mean, I'm not quite a dandelion. I mean, but I really relate to, you know, I'm a big guy, and people think I'm tough, but there's this sensitive side to me. So there's this mind, body, and spirit, and they go to Oz, and I call it the land of Haas. It's the land of Haas. It's joyful. They get there. First, they have a little slip. They go through an opium field, and they're down for the count. And then the light comes, you know, the good witch says, okay, and wakes them up from their poppy sleep. And they get there. It's horse of a different color. Ha, 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 ho, ho. The merry old land of Oz. Chirp, chirp, chirp. Snip, snip, snip. And a couple of la-dee-das.
Yeah.
And it's just a wonderful time. And that's how we see life. It's, oh, my God, everything's great. But then it turns out it's not so easy. And then they say, no, you have to surrender, and there's a lot of surrendering that goes on in life. You have to surrender some of these old ideas that we have, even about laughter and about joy and about how to achieve it. We have to surrender to a higher source, and that's written in the sky writing. And then they say, no, you have to be of service. You have to bring us back. You have to look at your fears direct in the eye and bring us back the broomstick, the representation that you have been through these fears, that bring us back to the Wicked Witch of the West. And then it turns out that just like all fears, that we build this thing up and it just melts away with a little bit of water melting. Oh, what a world, what a world. And then, oh my God, they're all going to attack me now. And then they say, no, you're our hero. You have released all of us. And then she goes back, and then Dorothy goes back to the wizard, and it turns out he's a guy behind the curtain, which we should never do, is, you know, the false deities that we always do, you know, gurus and these fakes. No, it's not about that. It's a search for within. We got to search within. And then he says, oh, here's a ticking clock, all these representations of, you know, you're smart enough, you're already – and then she says, there's nothing in that bag for me. I can't tell you how many times I've thought that in my life. I grew up very poor and, you know, house to house. I used to think the word evict meant move, like they were the same word when I was a kid. Like, here's the eviction truck, Mommy. But then there is something in that bag, because then the light comes down and says, no, you've had the answer all along.
Yeah.
You've, home is where the heart is. It's within us. It's there for every one of us if you make that choice, mind, body, and spirit together. And that's what we talk about in the class, is coming home and home, get into your heart and get into your spirit. And to channel that and to watch that happen and watch literally a healing take place is why I am now on this planet. I didn't know it before. I just thought it was about, you know, I was in comedy to get laid. So it happened now and then, because women always say they want a sense of humor, which is a bunch of crap. But anyway, I really get the purpose is to raise the awareness that we have this healing modality at our fingertips with just the simple choice of doing it. And that's what we talk about in the class, and we actually apply it by doing the guided lapidation. And we incorporate drums as well, because that really gets your blood flowing through the hands and right to the heart and your circulatory system, which is a very much a part of healing. It engages that as well. So sometimes we do the ha-ha drum circles.
Cool.
We combine ha-ha while we're drumming. Ha-ha-ha-ha-ha-ha-ha-ha. We get patterns of ha-has.
That's brilliant.
And that's a very spiritual word, by the way. Ha, it's Amen, Buddha, Allah, ha. It's very cleansing.
Yeah. It is.
As you know from the music business.
Fantastic.
Yeah. Hallelujah, ha-ha-ha. That's how we roll.
I love
it. We combine it all.
Oh, man, we need to come and join in. We would love for you to invite us one time and just come and experience this for ourselves. It would be fantastic.
That would be great. And you come on my podcast. We have guests on all the time. We talk about their obstacles, about the difficulties they've had in life. And it's great when famous people come on. You know, we just said, you know, Dr. Drew, who allegedly has all the answers, but he doesn't. And he talked about that on our show, and Samuel L. Jackson came on, and it's CraigShoemakerShow.com. And we'd love to have you guys on and talk about some of your maneuvering through life and how you got through and found the levity and found the humor. Right?
Lots of maneuvering going on.
Yeah, lots of maneuvering.
I'm sure the two of you have to have it all the time. You got to make that choice.
Yeah. No, I haven't got it figured out for sure. I'm definitely a work in progress, but it's interesting. The times I stay in the hole I dig for myself, those times get shorter and shorter. So I guess I must be, you know, heading in the right direction.
Yeah, that's what Dorothy was doing. She was a big old pity party, and she didn't know how to get out. And then she just had to put one foot in front of the other. And it turns out it unfolded naturally and beautifully, and she had her release and her escape from that prison that she put herself into.
Right.
From the very beginning of that movie, in the very beginning of that story, that's what she does. You know, she's like looking over the rainbow at somewhere else, as if the presence of where she was not enough. And that's, I love to explore that with people. And look, we're all on this planet a short time, and might as well enjoy it and find the joy and find some more happiness. The other's already out there. There's plenty of wicked witches. It's 24/7 on the news, which I don't watch anymore. I'm a news fast for 10 years now, and I feel good.
Yeah.
There's no purpose in it. There's no purpose in watching news. Zero.
No, there really isn't.
They only pick the news that they think is going to engage you, which helps with the advertisers. You'll notice that it's never like a girl, you know, the kidnapper. The women are kidnapped. I mean, I feel bad for them, the Natalie Holloway. But the fact that I know all their names, the Lacey Peterson, it just goes to show you it's a casting call. It's who they choose for us to obsess on, and it's always good-looking and white. As if they're the only ones kidnapped.
That's sad, and that's really true.
And they're choosing this like a casting call, and it's like a horror film.
Mm.
And that's what they do, is they keep us in that fear. We have a choice of why don't we go more to laughter? Why don't we go more to sitcoms instead of these bad reality shows? We are in bed with them.
Yeah.
They're choosing the menu, but we don't have to eat from it.
Right. No,
Hollywood, and the news and all that sort of thing. So that's why I'm just out there. You know, I promote all comedians, you know, go to more comedy shows. I think they should be packed out every week to go get your medicine. Think about the price. It's so inexpensive. It's $20 for a ticket, or I think I'm coming up. You guys should come to my show. I'm at the Saban Theater in Beverly Hills, and we're selling a lot of tickets. There'll be like 1,700 people, and we're going to laugh for 2 hours.
When is that?
And you walk out of there and you feel better about yourself.
For sure.
Better about it. There's some body part. There's going to be a release. I always hear from people, my cheeks, I've got Bill Baldy over here. Or their stomach hurts. It's like a workout. You know, you're working out your insides too. So, it's on June 15th. It's a Saturday night, and I hope you guys come by. You can bring some drums if you want. We'll do a drumming.
We'd love to make it. We'd love to be there. So people can see you at the Saban Theater in Beverly Hills June 15th, and they also can listen to you on CraigShoemakerShow.com.
Exactly right. CraigShoemakerShow.com. Go to CraigShoemaker.com. You get all my calendar dates if you're tuning in from somewhere else. I'm touring the country. And during the day, I do the workshops. And during the night, I just do the work and just do the comedy and make people laugh. But during the day, we talk about why you are laughing mm-hmm. and have some purpose behind it. It's not just to laugh. You are getting well, and you're
right.
going to get better. And well, and that's been proven by scientists and physicians for a long time now, but it's not out there because who runs the media? They don't want you. I don't want to sound like one of those conspiracy guys, but they if you find this out for yourself, that you can heal yourself through better eating and better conditions and that you're giving yourself, they're out of a job.
Yeah, you're right.
So they don't want to be promoting. Have you ever noticed that they won't even allow comics on most of these shows and we can't curse? I always say, who's going to affect your child more? You know, that they saw a beheading on television and all this death and destruction, or me dropping an F-bomb on The Tonight Show.
Right,
yeah.
yeah.
Right.
What's going to drive your kid to the top of a tower with a rifle? Craig
yeah,
Schumacher
point.
Cursed.
No, I mean,
yeah.
as you're alluding to, it's cheap medicine.
Yeah.
Yes. It's cheap. It's cheap medicine. You just called me cheap, you bastard.
No. yes.
Well, we look forward to meeting you in person, so he can call you other names live,
okay.
live and in person.
I'm gonna tell him where to put his stick.
Yeah, really.
That's
right. No, I'm an easy target. You know.
Well, listen, it's been so great talking to you. You're just an amazing person. This has been such a fun and informative interview. Thank you so much, Craig.
Well, thank you, and stay in touch. I look forward to seeing you at your next drum circle, and you look forward. I hope you make it to the Saban Theater, and we'll have some fun.
Fantastic. Thank you, Craig.
And we'll be right back, everybody.
Ho, 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 we're back.
That was great. That was so much fun talking with Craig. I really loved that interview.
I really get him. I mean, I get the whole idea of, you know, making that choice. Sometimes acting as if, you know.
Right. Yeah. I mean, just changing your perspective by going, okay, you know, I don't want to smile, but I'm smiling. And
right.
it does just shift the energy. I remember, why don't you tell the story about when you first started drawing your...
Ah, yeah. Many people have asked me how Stick Rick came about. And it's a little stick man drawing of me, you know, sort of holding a drumstick. Very simple drawing. A lot of people know about it, but if you don't. And the reason it came about was right after I came out of hospital and I started to meet with people again, with fans... they would ask me to sign autographs, and they would be looking at me with a very sad face. And my sort of internal dialogue was, how can I make people smile and allow them to know that I'm okay and I'm on the mend, I'm on the up and up.
Mm-hmm.
So it came to me to just start doing these small doodles, these little stick men, and it was fantastic to see people's faces, their reaction to this, because I'd make it out to somebody, sign my autograph, and then I'd start to do this drawing, and their faces would go from this sort of heavy sort of sadness. You could see that they were really sad for me,
mm-hmm.
and you actually saw the transformation as I started to complete the drawing, and people would actually start to smile.
Yeah.
And I thought that's a fantastic way to just, you know, to bring that out mm-hmm. of people and reassure them that I'm okay.
Mm-hmm. That's great. I love that story. And it still makes people smile today. So I think the whole intention of bringing in laughter into your life daily is so important. I think we all need to do it more. And this next part of the show is about setting intent, and we'll be bringing the drums. So for those of you who are listening at home, please join in. We're going to take a moment to get set up with the drums and then set our intention for bringing in laughter into our lives and just taking a moment to really absorb it into our cell tissues through the rhythm and through our intent. So we'll be right back. Welcome back, everybody. So this is the part of the show where we get to drum and set our intention. It was such a great show, talking about laughter and bringing joy into your life. So this will be our intent as we drum. So if you don't have a drum, don't worry. Just use your intention and bring in all the healing rhythm into your life, into your thoughts, into the room. You can clap. You can experience the rhythm in your heart. And as we play, hold the intention of the people that you love and care about. Also receiving this joy, this laughter, this happiness into their own lives too. So take a deep breath. Into the top of your head, in through your nose, exhaling through the mouth. Really feel your body where you are right now and commit to this moment in this space, in this particular time, without jumping into the future or the past. Be in this moment. And if you lose yourself, come back to the breath and come back to the rhythm.
Breathe.
Take a deep breath. Be in silence. And take a moment to be grateful for this particular moment, for this experience. That was fun. Thank you all. Thanks, everybody. We hope that you take this rhythm with you as you go. And remember all the things that we learned during our visit with Craig Shoemaker. And bring the rhythm of this episode into your heart.
I really enjoyed that. Very upbeat.
Very sassy. It was very snazzy.
Yeah, it was.
I feel a spring to my step now.
Yeah, so we'd like to say goodbye, and we hope to spend time with you again soon. Thanks.
Good night, everybody.
Good night.